Come on, yeah, there you go. How about those youth? Woo! Man, you guys make me so proud. Seriously, I'm like a proud papa up here, man. Get a little teary-eyed. I don't want to get it wrapped up, Zay. Get it wrapped up. Okay. Man, how awesome was that? That was awesome. Come on, let's praise God. Look, I'm going to tell you something really cool about this team, this youth team. Something that you guys don't know, and honestly, I didn't know until I did the math the other day. Yeah, math. I became a pastor to do math. No. All right, so I did some math the other day, and I actually figured out the average age of the people that were up here, not including me because I'm an old fogey now, according to most of my children. Liam, not so much. He thinks I'm awesome, so thanks, man. But the average age of the guys that were up here leading us in worship today was 16. 16. Come on, that's crazy, right? That's amazing. I'm just collecting pics down here now. That's cool. 16. The youngest was 11. The oldest, 21. How amazing is that? God is moving in the next generation here at Gateway Church. And man, I am excited about all the things that he's doing. Are you guys excited? Because I'm ready here. All right, let's get this open. Now, you guys saw a bunch of youths up here serving, which was awesome. But a bunch of you guys probably got greeted by a whole bunch of youths. And there's some youths back in the sound booth working right now. And the youths have been serving at VBS, and they've been serving at Parents Night Out, where parents can bring their kids and drop them off for an evening so they can have a night off. I know a lot of parents are like, oh, praise Jesus. I love the youth. They were serving a few weeks ago when we did our 20th anniversary celebration here at the church. A lot of really cool, exciting things are happening here in the next generation. Rico knows. He's saying amen. He's ready. He knows. Now, see, there you go. We got it. But all these things, it gets me really excited. It gets me pumped up, as you guys know. You guys know I'm usually dancing around up here anyways, but man, these guys get me really pumped up. And it reminds me of Paul exhorting Timothy. And he said, if you guys remember, he said this, Timothy, look, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. But be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. All my young people in here, listen to this carefully. Do not ever, ever believe that God cannot use you because you are too young. Do not ever believe that. Believe always that God is willing and ready and able to use you no matter your age. Young or old. Old fogies like me, right? Thanks, guys. Now, I hear some of you old fogies out there. Yeah, air fives. Now, lots of really cool things happen at Gateway Students. No joke, just what you saw up here today, that's only a fraction of all of the students who are learning to play different instruments, who are learning how to worship God. We got a lot of really, really cool things. People are finally finding where they want to serve the congregation and live in the way that God has called them to live. Now, in Gateway Students, we've been doing called Forged. Now, Forged is a series that we're doing where we're doing all sorts of stories from the Bible, discussing different people and how they go through forged moments, aka how they make their way through trials. Now, God gives us a ton of examples of this, believe it or not. And sure enough, in the Bible, there are examples of people who do it well, who come through fires well, and there are people who do it not so well. Anybody come through trials not so well sometimes? This guy. But listen to what James says about trials. I love this. And you guys may have heard me say this before, but I'll say it over and over and over again because this is amazing. James 1:2-4, it says this. Consider it pure joy. Okay, I'm going to say that part again because, like, This is the part that's really hard, okay? Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So we're supposed to consider it pure joy when we go through trials. That's a little difficult. Anybody been through some trials this year? Hashtag 2020, anybody? Come on now. I know a lot of y'all have been using hashtag 2020 this year. Okay, there have been some trials, all right? There have been some serious trials. And you know what the funny thing is that when we go through trials, we should do it with joy. Why? Because if we go through it in faith, we're going to find perseverance. And what perseverance does is it makes us stronger. So when we go through trials, we grow through trials, right? Now, we persevere through trials, trusting that God will see us through them and we'll be even better when we get to the other side. Now, there's this funny thing about trials, right? There's this funny thing about trials where, you know, it's like super easy to be like, yay, a trial. No, nobody else, just me. I'm so glad I get to go through this trial. This is so fun. Joy, joy, joy. Nobody does that. Come on. If you do that, you are way holier than me, okay? All right. Now, here's the deal. It is hard to do that. But if we can find the joy and understand that there's joy at the end, if we follow God's will, we're going to be okay. Now, here's the other thing about trials. Often they are unexpected. Anybody ever get blindsided by a trial? I don't know, COVID-19. I mean, other things. Come on, right? Everybody's been blindsided by trials. We get all sorts of unexpected trials that we don't see coming, and we get hit like we got hit by a train, right? And we're like, man, where did that come from? Now, here's the thing about unexpected trials is unexpected trials can often lead to some of the most unexpected and wonderful rewards. It's amazing. Let me tell you a story. I have this great team in the youth now. And in our series, we have 15 parts in our series, which is crazy, I know. But that's how we do it in youth. We rock out. We go all in, and we do a whole bunch of them. And we have 15 parts in this Forge series. Now, we actually have 7 different people bringing the word in our Forge series to the youth. That's incredible. 7 different people who want to build into these youth lives by preaching the gospel and the good news to them. That's really, really incredible. Now, there's also a wonderful blessing for me. Every once in a while, I can go on a vacation because they know how to run things and they know how to do it and they know how to give everybody what they need to run youth on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. And now, a couple weeks ago, we decided to go on a vacation. Nah, a little crazy, I know. A lot of people are thinking, what are you doing? It's crazy. The world is crazy. And I'm like, I know. I need some not crazy. That'll be great. And so we decided, okay, hey, we're going to go to Disney World. Oh, man. We're going to go to Disney World. And Brittany and I talked about this for years, okay? Like, for real. We were like, okay, listen, Disney World is crazy expensive, and we're going to go, and our kids aren't even going to care. All they're going to be whining about is, I'm hungry, I'm hot, I'm so... And so we had to wait till they were old enough that they were going to enjoy it and they were going to appreciate it, right? Now, we also didn't want them to be too old because I love you all, teenagers. I spend so much time with you because I love you. But the reality... And I don't know if you know, but in Disney World, there are some trials, okay? Most of them are called lines. Anybody ever stood in a line at Disney World? Come on, right? Give me a break, right? You're out there in a scorching heat, man. It's 90 plus. You're like trying to hydrate children. Hydrate. You don't want anybody to get heat stroke. You're trying to survive in these lines. And the heat's coming down. And here we come back to Colorado and it's snowing today. What's up with that? Okay. But it's scorching hot. You're going through this trial, this line. I know this is a silly example, but bear with me here. So we go to Disney World. We're so excited. The kids are really excited. It was a surprise. They had no idea we were doing it. But we go to Disney World, and we go to Hollywood Studios. You guys know which one that is? That's the one with Star Wars, okay? I'm just saying. It's really awesome. And I heard nerd over there somewhere. Settle down. Okay. Star Wars at Disneyland, Disney World, the Hollywood Studios. I always forget which one's which. But there's Star Wars everywhere. You're in the Star Wars world, and there's ships, and there's droids, and there's lightsabers, and people are doing this, you know, pretending like they're using the Force, and you're like pretending like they're getting you. I mean, seriously, it's awesome. And so we're going around. And look, if you think that's funny, I'm telling you, I got to fly the Millennium Falcon. It was awesome. That's like a childhood dream. Come on, who didn't want to do that when they were kids? Anyways, Millennium Falcon is cool. But there's this one ride. It's the most popular ride at Hollywood Studios, okay? It's the most popular one. And the strange thing about this ride is you can't actually get in line to ride this ride. You have to go and try to get in a queue that will get you into a digital line that will allow you to come back at a different time to get into the real line so that you can get into the ride. Anybody else confused? Yeah, me too. Brittany's great. She's on the app. She's like doing her little ninja wizard on the phone here. Using the Force. Guys, sorry, I'm sorry. Using the Force on her phone. She's like, boom, we got it. We're in the line for 2:30. And I'm like, 2:30? It's like 9 o'clock. It's like, it just opened. What happened? And all you hear a bunch of other people going, we made it in the line. And you're like, is it really that crazy? Like, it's that crazy, huh? Okay, all right. So we go throughout the day, you know, by 2:30, I don't know if you know, but 90 plus degree weather in Star Wars land. I don't know if you've ever seen a tree in Star Wars. There's no trees in this one. And so we're out there scorching, oh man, every 5 minutes trying to find the shade and drink water. But it's finally time and we get to go and get in the line. I know, not so exciting on that part. But we get to go and we get in the line. And we get in line, and it's hot still. What is happening? Why are we in line after we got on this? We finally get inside, and there's shade, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, hydrate again. Nobody die. We're going to make it through this. And then finally, they take you through, and you're in this resistance base, and there's a ship, there's a shuttle there, and they're like, okay, we're going to take you on the shuttle. You're the new resistance recruits, and we're going to take you off to this resistance base. It's going to be awesome. And you're like, oh, cool, this is sweet. Like, there's ships over here, and this is really cool. This is done really awesome. I'm in Star Wars, right? And then you get on the shuttle, and the doors close, and you got the animatronic pilot, and he's like, hey, we're going to do, right? And there's, like, screens that are the windows, right? So when it starts taking off, you can see we're taking off, and we're like, whoo, okay, this is cool. And you're holding the rail. And you're like, wait, where are the seats? Does this ride not have seats? What kind of ride is this? Don't they strap you into the rides and then flip you upside down? No? Okay. All right, so we're holding the rail. Okay, this is really long and boring. What is happening here? I look over Brittany and she's gone, is this it? I'm like, I don't know. Kids are like, I'm like, yeah, that's fun, get right, guys? And the kids are like, is this it? I'm like, I don't know. Kind of lame, right? This is a terrible ride. So we're thinking, this is the worst ride ever. Why did we have to get in a digital line just so we could get into a real line, just so we could get into this? This is crazy. And so the animatronic guys, you know, talking away, blah, 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 blah. You're going to be part of the resistance. Ha, ha, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, and we're like, oh, grab that rail just in case. Don't know what's going to happen. Grab that rail. And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, no, it's a trap, right? And nobody watches Star Wars. That was like a perfect impression. I'm just saying. That was General Akbar. Oh, never mind. Okay, seriously. So, Admiral, thank you. See, oh, look at that correction. Very good. The Force is strong with that one. Okay, so so we're getting pulled in with a tractor beam to a Star Destroyer. And now, if you remember from the movies, it's always crazy. They get caught up by the Star Destroyers, and they get brought in, and then they're going to prison. And when they walk into the bay, you know, there's stormtroopers everywhere, and they're going through. Now, all of a sudden, we're kind of like realizing, oh, maybe this isn't the ride. Maybe this is only part of it. And the door opens, and this commander comes in, and he's like, well, resistant scum, blah, blah, blah. And he starts spouting off stuff about how they're going to imprison us and we'll never be able to defeat the new order and all these other things. And then he's like, now we're going to separate you into your different cells, starting with you. And I was like, now I got Sophie Grace on my hand. I got Aiden over here behind me. Brittany and the others are on the other side of the ship. And I'm like, I look at Sophie, she's like, oh, all right, let's go through the door. So we go through the door, and sure enough, we are in a Star Destroyer hangar bay, and it is crazy. There's stormtroopers everywhere. These guys got ships all over the place, and they're going, go move, move, move through there, move through there. And they, like, literally move us through this area and put us into a cell. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, how much did I pay for this? I'm really confused now. And then, you know, there's Kylo Ren comes in, tell me where the droids are, blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, what is happening right now? We are like in Star Wars. We are actually in Star Wars right now. And then the wall comes blowing in and these resistance guys come running in there like, come on, we're getting you out of here. And you're just like, okay. So Grace is like, oh. And so we jump in this little pod, and there's a droid, and they're like, don't worry, the droid's going to get you out of there. And this is where you fasten your seatbelt. And I'm like, oh, here's the ride. Got it. So then we go, and there's things blowing up everywhere. Like, seriously, this ride was so cool. I was like, I am in Star Wars. I am in Star Wars. That's it. I am in Star Wars. And you know what? Here's the thing. Sometimes these unexpected, weird trials that we face end up with, like, the really coolest rewards. Sometimes those rewards you're not really sure are even rewards yet. And you're like, I mean, is this it? But then all of a sudden it starts unfolding. Everything that you went through starts unfolding before you, and you see so clearly what God is doing. And you're like, oh, this is cool. This is really, really awesome. Romans 8:28 says this. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Notice there's some conditions on this. It's really important that we notice some conditions here. It says that God will work all things together for the good of those who, A, love God, and B, are called according to his purpose for them. If you're running off doing something in sin, greed, selfishness, what have you, that's kind of not in the purpose that God has for your life, right? He doesn't have the purpose for us to live in sin. So if we face trials that are a result, direct result of our sin, how should we expect ourselves to grow or be blessed through that? I don't see a way. But we do face trials that aren't a direct result of our own sin. And we've got a story about that. This is one of the stories that we've already done in the Forge series with the youths. And Josh brought it. In fact, it was the first one that we did. And it's the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if you guys don't know who they are, back when King Nebuchadnezzar was there in Babylon, he had issues. We all got issues, right? The guy got a little too big for his britches sometimes. And, you know, eventually he made a giant golden idol. Giant. 90 feet tall, this golden idol. Now, imagine that. And I'm thinking to myself, that's probably pretty impressive. Like, anybody ever been to Mount Rushmore? You're like, whoa, that's pretty impressive, right? Now, this is a giant golden idol. Now, what King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do, he wanted all of his bigwigs, all of his administrators and politicians and everybody else, he wanted them all together, and he wanted all of them to bow down and worship this idol. So he said, okay, when the music starts playing, everybody bow down, worship this idol, we're good to go. Music starts playing, everybody bows down, starts worshiping this idol, except for three dudes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, there was another guy in that crowd, and he goes and he tattletales. Jerk. Now, he goes over here, he's like, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, oh, most majesty, hi, oh, you know, obviously, brown noser. And he's over here like, sir, those dudes over there, Look, it's a paraphrase. I can say dudes, okay? Those dudes over there, they do not respect you, king. They do not respect you. They do not want to bow down to your idol. I can't believe them. I can't. I just can't even. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had some pride issues. So he goes, okay, yeah, get those guys in here. Get those dudes in there, right? And so they come in, and he's like, hey, listen, you guys are hard workers. You're good workers. But here's the deal. I'm going to give you one more chance. We're going to play the music, and you guys bow down to the idol, and we're good. We're good. We'll call it even. We're solid, right? And they're like, okay, sir, not losing any honor for the king, for his the authority that he has, right? They say, actually, sir, with all due respect, we're going to save your time, and we're just going to tell you right now that we won't do that. We will not bow down to this idol, because our God is the one true God. And even if you're going to throw us into the fiery furnace, we just won't do it. Because our God can deliver us from that fiery furnace. But even if he didn't, we wouldn't bow down anyways, because God has already commanded us to have him alone. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar and his temper and his pride gets in the way. So he's really mad at this point. And he says, okay, turn up the furnace 7 times. Hotter than normal, 7 times hotter. Okay, I don't know how hot that is, but it sounds hot, all right? And then he goes, sounds hotter than Florida. All right, 7 times hotter than normal. Now, they do that, and you got to imagine, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm in that situation, if I'm a Bendigo, I'm like, yo, Shaq, listen. Yo, they are stoking that fire over there. They are legit going to throw us in this furnace. I want to make sure everybody's clear that this is going to happen. And Shaq's like, look, bro, it's cool. I get it. But God can, he could deliver us from this. Let's just continue to have faith and persevere through this. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he sees this confidence and he goes, okay, get some of my strongest soldiers from the army to tie them up and bound them. So there's no way they can escape. Yeah, that's right. So they do, and they tie him up. And when the soldiers go to throw him in the furnace, they throw him in the furnace, but the furnace is so hot that the soldiers get burned up. Now, imagine all these guys, all these bigwigs, and King Nebuchadnezzar watching this going, oh, whoa, that furnace is hot. Those were like some of our best dudes. They just lost some of those guys. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he looks in there, and he goes, there's... Didn't we throw 3 dudes in there? And they're like, yes, sir, we did. There's a 4th one in there. And wow, he looks like the son of the gods. Get these guys out. Get these guys out. So they get them out, right? They get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the furnace. And they come walking out. And all these guys come running around them. And they're like inspecting their clothes. Like, what? Like their clothes weren't burnt. Not a hair on their head was singed, is what the Bible says. And not only that, but they didn't even smell like smoke. Now, who likes camping? Who's ever sat around a campfire? Okay, look, your clothes smell like smoke for like a week. And even after you wash it, you're like... No, that one's got to go back in. And you throw it back in the wash. Because the smoke like penetrates all of the fabric in your clothes. But these dudes didn't even smell like smoke. What a powerful testimony about how great and powerful God is, right? And what happens there is that King Nebuchadnezzar, he recognizes this, and he goes, okay, these guys is God. He is the one true God. And now, after this, he promotes them, actually. He promotes them. And what happens then is the kingdom expands, it grows, and riches and power, and all the kingdoms around are going, whoa, these guys are huge. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got to be a part of all of that because they were faithful. They were faithful and they persevered through trial. Now, there's 2 ways that we come through fire. 2 different ways. She knows. She knows. The first way is persevering in faith. Hebrews 12:2 says that we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus had to face the cross even though he never did anything wrong. That's a trial. He had to face the cross even though he never did anything wrong. But he knew, even in the midst of the trial, he knew that there was joy at the end, right? Because he knew the purpose of what he was doing. Purpose is important when we go through trials. Man, that should have been another point. Man, mental note for next time. Purpose is important when we go through trials. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, look, they knew God is the only God. So we're keeping our eyes on God. They go through the furnace. They kept their eyes on God, and he delivered them. Amazing, amazing. Now, there is the other way that we come through fire, and that's bitter and hardened. Bitter and hardened. Ephesians 4 says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Often people go through trials and come out bitter and hardened because they either blame God for the trials that they face, or they are upset that he would even allow such a thing to happen because, you know, they know better. Makes me think of another story that we've done in the Youth Forge series already, and that's the story of Jonah. Most of us know the story of Jonah, but I'll give you a quick recap. Jonah, he's a prophet. Jonah was a prophet. Yeah, yeah, that's a song, right? Man, nailed it. All right. Jonah, he is a prophet, right? And God comes to him and he says, hey, you need to go to Nineveh. There, it's a big city, a booming city, 125,000 plus people there. And they're wicked people. They're into wicked ways. I need you to go to that city. Tell them that they're doomed to be destroyed unless they turn away from their ways. Okay, now, I'm thinking to myself, okay, say what? You want me to... There's a city full of wicked people, and you want me to go tell them that they're doomed unless they change their ways? Oh, yeah, that sounds like a trial. You know what Jonah does? He's like, I'm out. Thanks. No, thank you. So he goes and gets on a ship, and what happens? God turns the seas, and there's storm and raging, and the sailors on the ship are like, what is happening? They're all praying to their different gods, and eventually they figure out that it was Jonah. It's Jonah's fault because God is trying to get Jonah to stop running away, bro. We got purpose over here. Let's go, right? And they figure out that it's Jonah. And Jonah says, look, guys, you're going to have to throw me overboard. That's how this is going to stop. They're like, we're going to die. And if we throw you overboard, you're drowned and you'll die. We're not doing that. If this is your God, we're not killing you because you. So they're freaking out. So they're like, okay, let's try to get him to land and we'll drop him off and then we can be good. But they can't because the sea is just raging so much. And it gets even greater and greater until eventually they're like, okay, we don't know what else to do. Okay, listen, Jonah's God, listen, we're going to throw him overboard, but please don't be mad at us if he drowns, okay, please. They're freaking out. They finally drop him overboard, and what happens? Boom. Calm. So crazy is this, so mind-boggling to the sailors that they immediately recognize God as the one true God, and they immediately start making vows to God and God alone. Really cool. But what happens to Jonah? Well, he goes into water, fish comes and goes. Now, I imagine this being the most disgusting and horrible trial imaginable. Can you imagine being in the belly of a fish? I mean, look, if you know anything about anatomy, it's like disgusting. Like, I imagine him being very gross, like, coughing water, and it smells terrible. Can you imagine that smell? The smell and everything else, and water's coming in, and he's like half drowning all the time while he's in there. I imagine this is a pretty rough trial that he's going through. But eventually, the fish spits him out on land, and he goes off to Nineveh, and he tells the people, look, you got 40 days to turn from your wicked ways and turn toward God, otherwise he's going to destroy you. And then he's like, I'm out. Did my part, God. All right, I did it. What happens? Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, they turn from their wicked ways. They'll start fasting and praying and looking to God, turning away from all the bad things that they were doing. Even the king takes off his crown and his royal robes and puts on a sackcloth to humble himself while he fasts and prays. Amazing. amazing. Like, there is revival in Nineveh. There's revival in Nineveh. But Jonah runs off, sits on a hill, isolates himself, and he's no longer a part of what God is doing there. He's no longer a part of it. He misses out on what God is doing there in Nineveh. Think about, Jonah is four chapters. Imagine what it could have been. Imagine what it could have been if he continued in faith and persevered in faith and kept going, even though he went through tough trials. He was mad. He was like, God, I knew you were going to, you're gracious and loving. I knew you were going to just forgive them and be good to them. And I had to go through all these trials. He was bitter. Sometimes people come through trials bitter and hardened. As the worship team comes back up here, let me tell you a little bit about the forging process. Forging a sword, for example. Now, in the movies, we always see, them put it in the fire, and they bring out this hunk of metal, and they start hammering, and then, bling, magically there's a sword, right? Now, it's like a 30-second, sequence, but it takes way more time than that. But it's not just that hammering and firing part that makes the sword, because actually the sword is too soft at that point. So if somebody hits their sword with a good sword, that sword will actually get sliced. It's kind of amazing. That metal has all these different properties. Now, there's all these other parts of the process. I know we got to put a pommel and all that stuff on it, of course, but that's at the end. They actually have to go through a hardening process and then a grinding process. But even then, the hardening process, then the sword is too hard and it doesn't have any flexibility, which means that it's brittle. And yet again, it'll break. Now, who wants to go into battle with a sword that's going to break? Nope, not this guy. Not me. Then there's other parts of the process, but when it boils down to it, the tempering process is the really interesting part of the process, because the tempering process is the part where the smith takes the sword out of the fire and quenches it. Now, this is the other part we see in the movies, right? He takes it out of the fire and this orange sword comes out and he's like, psh, and there's all this. It's the most dramatic part of the sword making process, of the forging process. But it's also one of the most important, because it gives the sword flexibility. It gives it strength to endure. You see, God, he pulls us out of the fire and quenches us over and over and over again, just like the smith pulls the sword out of the forge over and over and quenches and quenches and quenches. Why? Because he's making us stronger. He's making us better. He's making us so that we can get through these things. We're all going to face trials. We're going to face trials over and over and over and over again. But God is going to pull us out over and over and over again, as long as we continue to keep our eyes on Jesus, just like Hebrews 12 says. Keep our eyes on him. God has a purpose for each of us. When the sword has all of its strength, it fulfills all of its potential, and it can be utilized for its designed purpose. God has purpose for each of us. When we face trials, are we going to come to the other side hardened, bitter, brittle, missing out on all the things that God has put in front of us? Or are we going to come out of the trials recognizing that God has pulled us through it and excited to be a part of what he's designed and put in front of us for such a time as this? You know, all these thousands of years, he could have chosen to put you on this earth, but he chose right now. Right now. Let's endure trials together as a body of believers, keeping our eyes always on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, trials will come our way. But we know that you are the King of the universe. the King of the universe. You're mighty with power. And we know that you won't let us fall down. You've always got us. Even if we turn away from you and fall down, if we turn back, God, you're there. Just like the people of Nineveh. But God, as we go through our day, each and every day, today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and the next day, God, help us choose joy in the midst of trial. Help us choose peace in the midst of trial. Help us choose your strength in the midst of trial. Always keeping our eyes on you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.